It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
And welcome back. We are in our final hour together today as I get to guest host the Ray Appleton Show. I thank you guys for tuning in and joining the conversation. Just a quick reminder, you heard the national keyword in the 25K payoff. It is more, M-O-R-E. And you can text that to 95819 for a chance to win $100. And if you win that, you will qualify to win $25,000. If you want more information, go to kmjnow.com to participate in that 25K payoff contest. All right, we're going to come to Scott now. He has waited patiently, and I appreciate that. Scott, you are on the air.
Good afternoon, Diane.
Good afternoon.
The problem is, there's a couple problems, but the problem is not everybody can take the vaccine. Mm-hmm. In my case, I had COVID, so I had the antibodies, and the experts state that you are not to take the vaccine within 3 months of having that, mm-hmm. having COVID. And other experts state that you shouldn't take it at all while you have the antibodies.
Right.
My dilemma is for a living, I work globally. I'm scheduled to travel to Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. And without this passport, I may not go. So do I choose work and jeopardize my health, or mm-hmm. do I just not take the vaccine and not work?
Yeah, and that is a lot of kind of the questions and the debate that's going on those things. Do you know, particularly for that or for international travel? Because I see most of them saying either proof of vaccination or a negative test. Is that an option for you potentially?
Well, Africa hasn't been hit that hard, mm-hmm. but I will be working in medical centers. Mm-hmm. So in that case, it's vaccine.
Gotcha.
And so it all depends on the country.
Right.
Each country has different standards of what they requirements of what they want.
Yeah. Well, and I can appreciate it. Thank you for this call, Scott, and thanks for hanging with me there. I think that's part of the question, too, is there's so many variables, particularly right now, as there's still people who are getting COVID, recovering from it, have these antibodies. How does the vaccine interact with those things? What are the, you know, a lot of questions still around a lot of that. And I know as I've kind of thought about, well, okay, if I still have questions and apprehensions about the vaccine, I could do the test and, you know, test negative. But then, of course, there's so many testing questions. And, you know, if I test and the results don't come for 3 days, well, then is that good enough for this venue? Or do you have to do a rapid test that maybe isn't quite as accurate and some of those things? So, again, we still, at least for me, are left with a lot of questions that I appreciate you guys letting me ask. And we're coming to Mark. Now, you've been waiting patiently, and I appreciate your call.
Hi. Okay, there is an enzyme in the vaccine, the COVID vaccine. I've mm-hmm. Googled it several times. It's called luciferase, kind of, it ends with A-S-E, mm-hmm. the kind of luciferase versus, you know, children of God, kingdom of God. Let's see. Mm-hmm. What really raised my eyebrows was Revelation 13:17. I see now, just with the mask, no man can buy or sell, just kind of hitting, you know, about a week ago, that, well, that's what I'm doing, selling, you know, because I drive and I deliver, you know, so goods, needs, services. And I just needed to say that.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Mark. I want to say one thing, and that is Google can be a fantastic resource. But just like all methods of gathering information, I encourage people to look at all kinds of different things. You can't trust everything you find on the internet. You can't trust everything you find from Google. But the more you go out there and ask questions again and look for information, hopefully you'll be able to find things that verify other information, that you can get multiple sources that say the same kind of thing. And again, when we're talking about these vaccines, whether it's how they're made, how they work, what's in them, I think those are questions that probably have a lot of confusion, I'll even say misinformation or disinformation that's out there as well. And so I want to make sure that even as I'm asking questions and admitting my apprehension about these things, that we're making sure that we are being fully informed as well and seeking out as much information and factual information as we can. So feel free to Google what you want and, you know, inform yourself as best you can. But again, I encourage you to make sure that you have multiple sources and often different sides of an issue too. If I have questions about the vaccine, I want to read as much as I can that offers confidence in the vaccines, and vice versa. I want to make sure that I'm not just getting my information from one source or feeding my own opinion or belief on something. I want to challenge those things and seek out counter views and that. So again, that's why I've encouraged you. If you disagree with me on this, if you really think that the vaccine passport is a must have and that's the only way to secure, you know, our safety and our health, or if you think that I'm crazy for having any apprehensions or wanting to question the necessity of a vaccine passport or getting the vaccine or any of those things, I welcome your calls. Join the conversation at 490-5858 or call toll free at 800-776-5858. I can espouse my own opinion all day long. And those of you who agree with me are still welcome to call in and offer different insights and input as well. But I think the real value is when we can have a conversation and discussion that comes at things from different viewpoints, different vantage points, different experiences. So again, I encourage you to call in. We'll keep talking about these vaccines for as long as you guys want to here as we wrap up the final hour of the Ray Appleton program today. But there are other issues, too, that we can get into. We have, you know, issues of this massive infrastructure bill that Washington is debating and taking up. We've got rising crime in Fresno and even Clovis. You know, the Clovis Police Department is currently looking for a suspect for attempted murder. That's not something you hear about in Clovis at all, let alone very often. And so we've got a lot of other issues that are going on in our communities and across the country. And so if there's something else you guys want to weigh in on, I welcome your calls on that too. But again, if we're wrapping up the vaccine conversation, or we can keep it going if you guys have an interest in that, we've covered so many different aspects of it. And I think that's really valuable. I hope it's valuable to you guys out there listening as well. And that's whether it's, you know, vaccine passports, how it the vaccine passport for COVID might be different than other things we've had where, you know, you can choose whether or not to go to a concert or to go to a venue that requires or doesn't require things. You can exercise your own judgment there. You can choose whether or not you want to travel a certain way or on a certain airline or what have you based on their restrictions. But you still retain that kind of individual choice in those types of matters. But when we're talking about the COVID passport concept, we're talking more about everyday activities as well, whether or not you can go into a grocery store or things like that. And so me personally, I see a little bit of a difference in how this would be implemented. And we've also seen a lot of what I've called the marketing for the vaccine, whether it's a star-studded television special they talked about and I think aired last night that had former President Obama, current President Biden, and a number of celebrities encouraging people to get vaccinated. And again, I've said I see both sides of it. I see the value of that, but I also see that I want to make sure that the information I'm getting and what people are sharing with me, that I can have confidence in the accuracy and the truth of it. And so I think, again, we've been able to have a wide-ranging conversation on it. And Gino, I appreciate your call and am anxious to hear what you have to say to add to the conversation.
Well, we're talking about the vaccine, and it's under emergency use only.
Correct.
And it hasn't been fully licensed, so they're just gathering all this data. So I don't think there'll be a passport yet until it's fully licensed.
Yeah, and I understand. I think it's Pfizer is pretty close to getting that official FDA clearance, and that will, you know, kind of add a little additional aspect or wrinkle to the conversation as well, because once they do have that licensing, like you say, from the FDA, it moves out of the emergency use into, you know, more widespread availability. So my understanding is, and people can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's actually on the relatively nearer horizon.
Correct. So they're still gathering data. Mm-hmm. You know, Johnson & Johnson's shut down right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be longer. Because of they don't know how long this vaccine will last, and that's
right.
Critical. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the passport might not work. You know, you might be 6 months. You got to get another shot, a booster shot.
Yeah. No, Gino, I appreciate your call. Thank you for that and for bringing up those additional questions. Again, I think that that's what we're really finding is that there's a lot of different things that we can consider as we have these conversations. Again, they are still in the emergency use only. They have to have, I believe it's 6 months of data before they can get final approval, official approval, whatever the terminology is from the FDA to move out of that phase. And Pfizer, I believe, is relatively close to that. But at the same time, yeah, we have questions about how long does someone who's had COVID have any kind of immunity? Is it 3 months? Is it 6 months? Is it 9 months? Is it forever? I'm not sure there's been a definitive answer to that. And so how does that affect someone who's had COVID deciding whether or not to get the vaccine? How long does the vaccine last for? Do we need to get yearly boosters? Do we need like the flu shot? Or do we need, you know, is it a one-time thing? Is it less than a year? I mean, there's still a lot of questions out there. And so I appreciate those of you who have called in to engage in this conversation. We are going to take a quick break here, but I see you on the lines there. Hang tight. This is Diane Pierce in for Ray Appleton on KMJ. You can join the conversation at 490-5858. And we will be back right after this. All right. Welcome back. I am Diane Pierce, and I am thrilled to be sitting in for Ray Appleton today on KMJ. I want to thank you all for tuning in. We've got a lot of callers waiting on the line, and I just want to make one additional comment here. We've brought it up once before, but I'm going to point it out again. A, I am not anti-vax. I am not anti-COVID vax. I am for people making their choices. And for those of you who are looking for information on how to get your COVID-19 vaccine, you can go to kmjnow.com. There are links for Fresno County residents and the entire Central Valley. And I know that there are doses out there to be had in Fresno County in particular. So if you're looking for a way to do that, to get your vaccination, you can go to kmjnow.com for that information. All right. Like I say, we've got a lot of callers. I was just telling Mike off the air that this was one topic I was really nervous about getting into because I do have my questions and I have my apprehensions. And yet, so I wasn't too sure about airing all of that with you. But you guys are calling in, so you're keeping it going. And we're going to take those calls right now. We're going to start with Sherry. Thank you for calling. You are on the air.
Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Yes. I'm going to start out. A great show. Please don't be nervous. I've been a health professional and health researcher for over 30 years. I do consider myself an expert because I've put in hundreds of hours this past year on this whole issue. So I have more information than you have time for.
Well, thank you so much for all that work and for calling in.
And so it sounds like you're very interested. So I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm a health person, and I am a common sense, logical thinking person. So first fun fact is we have 0.0001% of the population that would ever be affected by what they're calling SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Of those, 99.78% recover with no problem. Mm-hmm. So my common sense is, why in the world are they even considering this? I get calls weekly now, and I got a call just last evening from a mother whose 40-year-old son just took the Moderna vaccine mm-hmm. and 2 weeks ago, and he is having severe pain down his right arm. His knuckles are swollen, and she is wondering what to do. Last week, it was a son in his 20s who was vaccinated and had a brain aneurysm immediately after the vaccine and is now being told by the doctors he's in for a long recovery. Mm. If people don't know about the adverse event reporting site, is VEARSE by the CDC. There's numbers of thousands of people now, many who died right after receiving the vaccine. So, I have listened to Dr. Halderman. She sounds like a very nice lady. And I believe the true experts are those who are not getting a paycheck you know, have a bias in this, but Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who is a medical doctor and has done 30,000 hours of research in vaccines, if anybody is interested in really accurate information, she is great, as is Dr. Andrew Kaufman and Tom Cowan. And we don't have time to get into the inaccuracy of the PCR test, and I have details on that as well.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that call, Sherry, again, from someone who's put so much time into researching things. I appreciate your call. Thank you. I have a lot of other people to get to as well. And so I thank you all who are holding on the line. We're going to come to Chris right now. Thank you for waiting. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Yeah, this is your Diana Pierce.
Yes, it is.
Oh, you're doing excellent program.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. You have a comment on the vaccines?
I just want to talk about a little bit of vaccine.
Yes.
Because vaccine is not available for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That is a sad thing. All these pharmaceutical companies making money out of this vaccine. Johnson & Johnson, Merck, too many companies, they're making the vaccine now. Moderna. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that company, Moderna.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to say that vaccine too. I took that second shot, but I was not feeling well. I was, fever. I had fever. Then nothing happened to me. Thank God.
Yeah. No, I think, thank you for the call, Chris, and for sharing your personal experience with us on it. I've had a number of people, I know Sherry was just sharing some of the concerns and some of the adverse effects that some people have suffered from the vaccines, but I personally don't know anyone who has had anything more than maybe a sore arm or some tiredness, lethargy after getting their vaccine. So fortunately, that is not the predominant thing, at least in my experience with the people I know who have gotten them. But again, that's the question that we're asking, you know, how do these things work? What is the real necessity of it for different people? So appreciate your calls. You can still weigh in at 490-5858 or toll free 800-776-5858. We're going to come up on the bottom of the hour here, but I want to get Janet in before we do that. Janet, thank you for your call.
Hi, yes. I have a brain injury, a severe brain injury that I've had for 20 years, and I have 4 different medications to help my brain function properly.
Mm-hmm.
So taking any vaccine, anything, could affect how my electrolytes go in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really, I just can't risk losing my brain for those vaccines. I just can't do it.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And again, here's more of the questions and considerations that I'm grateful for the opportunity to just kind of ask the questions and have the conversation. So, Janet, I appreciate you calling in and sharing your, again, personal experience and situation with that. And we do need to look at those things, I think. And, you know, when we talk about a vaccine passport and that type of thing, are there exemptions, so to speak, or different considerations for people who, like Janet, is not in a position where she's comfortable taking that vaccine because of other medications for other issues that she has? How are we going to handle that as a society, frankly? So before we hit that break, we're going to get Dina on. Thank you for holding. You are on the air.
Hi. The reason I'm calling is I got the vaccine. I'm in the medical field. I felt very pressured to get the vaccine.
Uh-huh.
Got the vaccine about 2 weeks ago. It was the Johnson & Johnson just before they took it off market. And ever since then, I've had nothing but problems. Every muscle in my body hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't feel the same. And I just don't think that we have enough research out there or just information of what it does to our body.
Yeah. No, I appreciate, again, thank you so much for those of you who are calling in with your personal experiences. Dina, I appreciate the call. And again, that concept of kind of feeling pressured, whether it's from a job situation or, you know, wanting to go to concerts again. We had one caller talking about how that's, you know, his thing. He had so many events that he was looking forward to last year. And so now feeling like to go back to our own personal sense of normal, which might involve those types of things, to have that pressure to do this when, again, like Dina was saying, we don't have a ton of information. The reason these vaccines are still emergency use only is because they don't even have 6 months worth of data to be able to apply for, if that's the correct term, this FDA approval that would take them out of that status. And so, again, we have a lot of questions and we're free to ask them here on the Ray Appleton program on KMJ. And so I encourage you to continue the conversation with me by calling 490-5858 or toll free 800-776-5858. I am Diane Pierce, your guest host today, and we will be back after this break. We are heading to Liz Kern at the news desk. All right, welcome back. This is KMJ, The Ray Appleton Show, and I am your guest host, Diane Pierce. Before we jump back into talking about vaccines, all things vaccines, we've got a couple callers. I do want to also remind you of today's Daily Buzz question. Should Governor Newsom declare a drought emergency? You can let us know at kmjnow.com. The Daily Buzz question is sponsored by the Boz Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Center. All right, we are coming to Steve. Thanks for hanging on through that break there. You are on the air.
Hi, guest host Diane. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, caller Steve.
Hey, you know, about vaccines, I'm going to start there and then I'm going to go back to the beginning. I'm not going to take it at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel I'm anywhere near the high risk area.
Because
mm-hmm. this disease seems to be very specific on who it affects.
Right.
And and that's information that started coming out in the beginning. I was like everybody else the first couple of weeks. I was okay with some of the restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
But then the data started coming out, and none of it was making any sense as far as what they were telling us to do with masks. I mean, I learned, I'm 65.
Mm-hmm.
Good health. I'm not morbidly obese. And, you know, I mean, so I'm not one of those I don't think that is going to be affected by it if I do get it, or if I didn't already have it and didn't know it.
Right.
And so you hear about masks. Well, 40 years ago when I was in school, I learned about masks
mm-hmm.
and don't work on viruses. And so when I start hearing that, I'm going, well, have things changed? So I went back and I started researching and look up things. And still, the research hasn't changed.
Right.
It's still the same. They don't work on viruses. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I start questioning, why are these people doing this? You know, and then I start talking about the distance rule, right? Somebody says, well, 6 feet. Somebody else said 13 feet. Somebody else was saying 3 feet. And they just picked a number out of the thin air and said 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd that come from?
Right. Well, and I think there were some countries that had, yeah, different distances in that, like you say. I mean, there was so much about the different protocols and everything that felt very arbitrary.
Oh, yeah, it was zero science. There was no science. Mm-hmm. They kept saying we're following the science. I said, well, where is it? And
yeah.
No, I mean, it never got provided to us. So, you know, I started looking at the damages being done. I was going nuts thinking about it, right? You mm-hmm. have a lot of time on your hands, so you get on the internet a lot, right?
Right.
And some people don't because they're still wearing masks,
mm-hmm.
driving in their cars, right? Yeah. It drives me crazy.
Right.
That they're hurting themselves more than they're helping themselves because mm-hmm. rebreathing bacteria is not good for your body.
Sure.
And your lungs want to expel the bad things. If you're blocking that, it's not going to work out well in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, all that just leads me to question, okay, why is there...
Yeah, Steve, I think I might have lost you there, but thank you for the call. And I think you brought a couple good points there, things that I'd kind of been wondering myself. And again, that's what we're doing here. We're asking questions and we have the ability to do that. And we welcome people on all sides of the conversation, whether you agree with my take on things or you disagree with it. This is an open forum for people who have an opinion. So feel free to call in and join us at 490-5858, toll free 800-776-5858. I genuinely want to hear from people on all sides of this issue because I'm wanting to ask questions because I'm looking for answers, and I'm looking to be comfortable and confident in the information that we're getting on different things. And so the more questions we ask and the more conversation we have, I think the closer we can get to that. All right, Larry, I am coming to you. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hello. Okay, let me get off the Bluetooth here. quick question. How is Ray doing? Is he going to be out under the weather, or how is he?
Well, I know he went in for a procedure today. He was very open about that with people, particularly on his Facebook page. I haven't heard an update. I don't think we're expecting one quite yet, but I hope he feels all the love and prayers and support that he's getting from his fans and listeners out there, his KMJ family, and I'm sure we'll be giving you an update as soon as we have one to share.
Sure, great. Okay, my comment is that the COVID-19 vaccines, you know, I did myself, I was a victim of the, actually, I contracted the COVID in May of this year,
mm-hmm.
and thank God I recovered, no major issues, except the loss of taste at this point, and mm-hmm. Sometimes my hearing, I'm 66 years old, and the question of taking it or not, I think for us in our age range, mm-hmm. it's a given that we should, as far as I think to myself, well, what if I don't take it? And all the issues around one of the three, you know, the mm-hmm. Pfizer and the Moderna. I trust Pfizer because to myself, I retired from mental health services for the county. And Pfizer was one of the, so was Janssen, was one of the pharmaceutical firms that supplied all the medications. And so I'm kind of undecided at this point, but I'm getting to the point where I'm hearing another caller say that they're not at risk or maybe not finding it necessary. I think at this point, I don't want to question it anymore because what if I don't, and what if COVID hits again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm kind of leery as far as I also do foster care, and my client, fortunately or unfortunately, there was a fair for the Janssen & Johnson vaccine. I took him. A couple of days later, then they took it off the shelves. So I'm kind of worried about that. He now has chest pains.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a, you know, you're in limbo. So what should I or shouldn't I? But I think I'm going to stop hesitating and just go take it because, by the way, Moderna, one of my best friends, took the second dose and his face swelled up pretty bad. Pfizer, it was Pfizer. People are scared, you know, like the gentleman earlier said, that it's in a testing stage for emergencies only. Hasn't been proven, but then again, why not, you know? I mean, why wait until something happens and we're caught that we could have done it, but we didn't?
Right.
In my case, I think that's what I'm going to do.
No, and I appreciate the call, Larry. Thank you for that. And again, I really appreciate people giving their personal experiences and situations because what we're looking for, just having that conversation, like I've been saying, and being able to ask those questions. And one thing people have brought up is as we talk about this idea of vaccine passports, where you have to prove that you have taken the COVID vaccine, there's a variety of people for their own reasons that are apprehensive about that. You know, whether it's for other medication that you're taking for serious issues or whatever it might be, how does that factor in to the passport concept? Are you exempt from that? Do you have some alternative that you can pursue to, you know, still be allowed to participate in these things? I think we've got some interesting questions that are being brought up. And again, that's kind of my whole goal here, so to speak, is to just open up the dialogue. And like I say, the more questions we ask, I think the more confidence we can have moving forward with the information that we get. But it's when we feel like we're not allowed to ask those questions that we have more concerns. And I think it breeds that confusion and that frustration with the system when we feel like we aren't supposed to question it. We're not allowed to, you know, put our opinion out there and be looking for people to either challenge it or agree with it. And so again, I really appreciate the calls that are coming in on this topic. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call in at 490-5858 or toll free 800-776-5858. I've got a couple of you on the line we're going to get to here before we take the next break. So let's start with Mark. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, ma'am.
Hi.
I got the vaccine, and the reason I got the vaccine is you know, some people get COVID and they have zero symptoms, right?
Mm-hmm.
None right. whatsoever.
Right.
And that person can give COVID to their grandmother and kill their grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a good person, you have a good heart, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to risk that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't think there is anybody who does want to do that. Like I say, I'm not somebody who my apprehensions mean that I'm wanting to infect somebody or cause harm to somebody. But I think that, again, I'm just looking for an opportunity to ask the questions and be honest about my own personal apprehensions and be looking for that assurance and that confidence in what the answers are. So thank you for that call. And let's see, Kevin, you are up next.
Well, hello and good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
You know, I'm doing fine. You know, I really gave it to God. I really prayed about it, and I didn't want to do it, but I felt led to do it, and I did it. And it was funny because interesting how one guy said about loss of hearing. My friend is a studio musician in Nashville, mm-hmm. and he has lost hearing in part of his ear, and he hasn't had COVID in like 3 months. And it still hardly has come back. And I've had it, and I haven't got my sense of taste or smell back.
Hmm.
And it's just the long-lasting effects of it. It's nothing, you know. I mean, at least I'm over it. But I just kind of curious, you know, when I hear these conversations, people do talk about the long-lasting effects of it, even
right.
though... quote unquote, you're over it.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, does that make sense? And I got it too because I take care of my elderly mother a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think I've heard people who suffer long-term effects as long haulers, that they still have effects from COVID long after they've had it. So thank you for that call, Kevin. Bob, I see you there. We're going to come to you after the break. But again, we're talking all things vaccines. It is an open forum for your questions, your concerns, your opinions. You can call in at 490-5858. This is Diane Pierce, guest hosting the Ray Appleton Show here on KMJ. We will be right back. All right. Welcome back to KMJ and the Ray Appleton Show as we wrap up today's edition. I am your guest host, Diane Pierce. I am glad to say I will be back with you tomorrow. I hope you will be with me. And we are going to take it to Bob now for our final input on this vaccine topic. Bob, thank you for calling.
Hey, you're welcome. I hope everybody well. And I got 2 points I want to make. I'll try and make them real quick.
Great.
One of them is that I work for a government entity. They gave out the flu shots. The religious people that took the flu shots were out for 3 or 4 days after they took them. The second point is that back in the 40s, mm-hmm. The Hitler regime required papers to go anywhere. Is this where we're headed? That's all I got to say.
Thank you for the call, Bob. And I think that's really kind of the questions that we're asking. What exactly is this going to look like? Are there exemptions for people, et cetera, et cetera? And, you know, my kind of take on the whole thing from the beginning of the pandemic, even into this conversation about vaccines, is people being able to assess what I call their own risk level. I know whether I have underlying conditions or those comorbidities they talk about. And so I can decide what my risk level is. And then I can also assess my own risk tolerance. You know, when I look out and I say, you know what, I think for me, I'm not going to be comfortable out there unless I'm vaccinated, or I'm not going to be comfortable patronizing a business unless they're, you know, operating under X, Y, and Z protocols. And so I can make my own decisions based on what I know about myself and my situation and also what I see in front of me and make those decisions. And I think that's really what we're looking for with the vaccine as well. And, you know, I'm all for people getting vaccinated if they feel that that is their best choice. And, you know, but then I want to ask, because people keep saying, it's like, well, you have to do it to protect other people. Well, if my grandma is vaccinated, then why is it important for me to be vaccinated to be around her? How is that? Why can't I still make my own personal choice just the way that it was best for grandma to be vaccinated, why can't I assess my own situation there as well? So again, I want to thank everybody who participated in the conversation, allowed me to be open and honest with some of my questions and my apprehensions, as I've said, about the whole concept of the vaccines. And I want to do one final plug. I mentioned, I think, at the beginning of the show that in addition to being allowed to sit in this chair and guest host for Ray today and tomorrow, I also am the president of our Fresno County and City Republican Women Federated Group, or Fresno Republican Women. And I am excited to say that we are finally getting back to our monthly luncheons. We are going to be meeting next Tuesday, April 27th at noon out at Wolf Lakes. If you would like to join us and would like information about that meeting and our upcoming meetings each month, please go to our website at FresnoRepublicanWomen.org. You can click register and find out all the information about that luncheon. We'd love to have you out there with us. Like I say, we're excited to be getting back to those on a monthly basis. We try and bring in exciting speakers on relevant topics, and so we'd love to have you join us for that. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Fresno Republican Women and engage with us there as well. So I, again, am so excited to be back with you tomorrow. We'll find out what exciting topics are available for us and what you want to talk about, but I thank you so much for participating in the conversation today. And again, we covered all kinds of things on the vaccine, from the passports to the questions about the vaccines themselves, to how the passport is going to function for people, being able to choose whether or not we attend things, whether or not based on whether or not they have the restrictions of having to be vaccinated, but then also how that's going to apply to more regular things where that real personal choice of doing something isn't there quite the same way when we're talking about going grocery shopping or doing those regular day-to-day things. Am I going to be allowed to go inside a grocery store if I don't have that passport or whatever they might call it? We started talking about an article that says, look, go ahead and pursue the concept of this vaccine passport, just change the name so that people aren't so wary of it and so afraid of the concept. But we are looking like we're getting back to normal, and I know we're all very thankful and grateful for that. The governor has announced June 15th as our official reopening day in California, and I said I think that's going to stick because I think this is more driven by the recall efforts than anything else, but we can take heart in that and look forward to that and all the different things. You know, whether it's those sporting events and concerts and things like that, and we can make our choices about how we're going to participate in those. If we're comfortable getting the vaccine, great. And if you want details on how you can get your vaccine, you can find those at kmjnow.com. There's links for Fresno County residents and also for people across the entire Central Valley. So if that's something that you're interested in, you can find that information and go and get your vaccine. But for those of us who still have some questions, again, I thank you guys for bearing with me as we went through all of that today. And thank you for your calls and sharing your insights, your input, and your personal experiences. We will be back at it again tomorrow here on the KMJ airwaves. I am grateful to be able to sit in for Ray Appleton. We wish him Godspeed. Our prayers and thoughts and love are with him, and we hope to have him back very, very soon. And I know an update will be coming as well. So right now, I'm going to wrap it up here, and I'm going to toss it to Michael Germanuel Jr. with his daily take on the news.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.